Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had a very interesting chat with The Guardian's Sean Ingle.
Yes.
And he told us a bit about the girl at the moment, Emma Raducanu, and how tap dancing and motocross played a part in her winning the US
Open. She's an all-rounder, Paul.
She is.
She's like the Bruce Forsyth
of
British tennis.
Well, it's a comparison that hasn't been made, but it should have been. We spoke to Lloyd Griffith, didn't we? Comedian and Grimsby Town fan.
Yeah, he's on tour.
He is on tour. They recently beat Torquay, so it was a bit of an eggy chat. Tony Bellew joined us. Tony was on good form.
Anger Management was his thing.
Yeah, he's got a new podcast, and he talked a bit of Everton boxing. He was on good form. I mean, Graham Stack joined us as well. I don't want to throw too much at it, but it was fun. We had some good guests.
The life of a number two goalkeeper.
Yeah,
Paul,
he was fascinating.
Really interesting.
So that and a chat we had. I mean, it's a bumper one today, which I suppose proves something.
Well,
I don't know what it proves.
I don't know what it was.
So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Nice to be here. Nice to be back.
Nice to see
you. Very nice weekend. My son's team started playing again this weekend.
Right. How old's your boy? Exciting. Remind us.
He's now under 15, so they're getting big. They're all basically bigger than us.
Yeah.
Now, we used to play a lads v dads once or twice a year, and we've not played that for a while.
When they get to that age as well, because the boys get involved sometimes, it gets a bit larrier on the touchline, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I found.
But what's annoying, they're big. They're bigger than us, but they can't drive themselves there.
Yeah.
So you end up taking them, yeah. But no one wanted to run the line, so I ran the line.
Oh, I've done that.
On Sunday. I don't mind it. I quite like being involved in the game in some way. Don't mind it.
It's the other parents, though.
But it's the other parents, but it was Sunday morning, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had a few the night before. It's Saturday night, isn't it?
It's not
always the best time.
Right.
To run the line a Sunday morning. So I was running the line, fine first half, one offside decision, which, you know, everybody shouted at, but, you know, you always make mistakes. Second half, ball goes up towards our goal. My son plays in goal.
Yeah.
Towards our goal, bit of a clearance, bit of a mix-up.
Mm-hmm.
Ball goes towards the goal. And one of our defenders either clears it off the line or it goes in.
Right.
I was not up with play, Paul.
Did your watch not go off?
I was
Wouldn't
not.
That have told you?
Paul, I was not up with play. Let's just say that.
Okay.
I was probably just over the halfway line.
Oh, wow.
It'd been a long ball over the top.
Yeah.
You know,
You'd had a few the night before.
I was chatting to their manager.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I went, I don't know. I don't know if it went or not.
Mm.
Ref gave it. I think, right.
Gave the goal.
Straight away. And I was like, right, fine. Look from the other side, starts giving it all that, Paul.
Right, yeah.
Because he thought I'd said no goal, right? He starts giving it all that. Move your little legs. He was giving it all that.
Move your little legs.
And he was a big fat bloke having a bacon sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, you move your legs. Got to move, mate. Got to move. And I was like, oh, come off it. I'm not having this. Anyway, I started having a little pop back.
A bit back.
Just a little bit back.
That's not in the FA handbook, is it?
You do it.
Put you your sandwich down, fat sandwich down. Boy. And you move your little legs. You started giving all that back.
He said, I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed. Anyway, so I put
Why is he not allowed?
Because they've already got someone on their team doing it already.
Okay.
So I put my flag down. I walked across the pitch ball. It has now become personal.
Oh, wow. So
it had now become personal.
What's your... Is your son saying, leave it, Dad? You're
No. I was in the right ear, Paul. I will say that. And then I got to the other side and I went... He went, oh, well, what, don't do it if you can't do it. I said, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I'm hungover. And I'm trying to keep up with 15-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Please leave me alone. Yeah. You know.
And did he,
you shouldn't do it, you know. But people like that. And then the ref came and got involved. And their manager apologised.
You were right, Charlie.
Another couple of parents apologised. It drives me mad, Paul. And I shouldn't rise to it.
Yeah.
But I cannot. Those people are the people who just ruin football. They're kids.
I know.
They're kids.
I know. Yeah,
it drives me. I shouldn't run the line, you know. I shouldn't do it.
It drives me mad. I did it a couple of times for my son's team, and I remember one where they said, "Would you mind just as a favour running the line?" No, not at all.
Yeah.
And one of their dads from the other team ran with me. Every movement I made, me and my shadow, he made it with me, looking over my shoulder.
No,
and I said,
Paul.
Wouldn't it make more... This is daft, two of us getting this tired. Wouldn't it make... You're going to be running with me. No, I'm just making sure everything's above board. I said, well, why don't you do it? And, oh, no, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is I'm just making sure no one makes any mistakes. But he completely ran in line with me for the whole game.
People are weird.
Yeah.
They're really weird.
We can never get too many tales of idiots you encounter in youth football.
Please, let them play the game.
Yeah.
You know.
So let's have a few of those. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. They never cease to amaze. Adam Hurry, Football Clichés, has alerted us via his excellent Twitter feed to the fact that the host of the Meat Management Industry Awards 2021. None other.
It's that time of year again, isn't it?
It is. That's right. It's come around so quickly.
What do you wear to the opening of that?
I would tend to wear very similar things to the Met Gala that we saw last night. But Kevin Keegan will be the host.
Right.
And in the build-up to it, he has kindly done a Q&A for meatmanagement.com.
Oh, very nice.
And
Meat Management,
he seems to know.
We're back to Nicki Minaj's brother.
So you've taken it on to another... I skirted round it.
Oh, you bought it.
You've
up.
Gone straight
beef
into
skirt, beef skirted round it.
So he knows. He seems to know a lot about meat management, Kevin.
Okay.
They say the question in the Q&A, do a Q&A, it says, Kevin, what attracted you to hosting the Meat Management Industry Awards? And surprisingly, he doesn't say money. He says, awards nights are such good fun because people are being selected and rewarded for what they've done.
Yeah.
Then he brings, most of these things, he parallels the worlds of meat management and football.
Of course.
Which on the face of it... It's not easy.
Well,
but Kevin, if anybody do it, Kevin can. And
meat management.
And they ask him the question. This is Kevin Keegan, former England Newcastle
Ballon d'Or
manager.
Two-times winner of the Ballon d'Or.
Then they ask him, what's your view of the UK meat industry's performance during the pandemic? Kevin, again, rather than
he's
saying...
He's got an answer, has he?
What are you asking me for, mate?
Not a clue,
as a professional footballer.
Not a clue, mate.
He says it's coped very well.
Yeah, I
may be doing Kev a disservice.
It has coped well, though, Paul, the meat management industry.
I did sense he was coached slightly on this. It goes on. It's, if you go and have a look at Football Clichés, it's a very interesting read. It's reams of it.
He's a very positive man, isn't he, Kevin?
He is.
I worked with him this year.
Just
before the Euros. And he's a very positive man. And you walk away from him feeling $1 million.
He told you some jokes, didn't he?
He did. I'm not telling any of them on air.
You're not going to slot any of them into the set, are you, really?
I'm not going to put them in, no.
No, but the reason I bring this up is that sometimes you do get some fairly left... You probably work for a company, folks. You're out there today, up and down the motorway. Maybe, who knows, you're a rep or something like that. And they have your big awards every year. And they think, they've done well, get Lady Gaga this year. But you get quite left-field appointments. And there's a wonderful story I once was told by somebody where they booked a fairly safe pair of hands to do a corporate event,
Lovely.
A good corporate event. This person got ill last minute.
Oh.
And the only other person they had on their books to do it was a pretty well-known British boxer from back in the day. And they called on him last minute. And they said, well, it's not really that. He said, well, that's all we've got. I mean, otherwise you're going to get nobody. That's the only person I can get.
Yeah.
Fine. So the boxer comes down and he's all very nice to people at first. And they kind of gave him a rough off ideas. So you get there, you do about sort of 20 minutes and just chat, just have a chat about your career and things like that. And this was just a kind of straight corporate gig. Well, I think he needed a couple of liveners first.
Sure.
But when I say a couple, I mean bottles. He worked his way for a couple of bottles of red.
Oh, no.
Then got up and did about some fairly off-colour stories about people he'd beaten to a pulp and libelled half of the boxing industry, right?
Oh,
then went
no.
on to tell a series of gags that had like, the women in the audience gasping, working very much from the blue book.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sort of sat down to like Citizen Kane, that one bloke clapping at the back, who was probably scared.
Yeah.
Then they said, well, it wasn't quite what we were after, but we thank you for coming at short notice and I'll be in touch with your agent and we'll sort out payment. He said, I'm not having that. He said, I want cash now.
Oh,
so he basically then demanded money with menaces.
Oh, blimey.
Stood over the managing director while they had a whip round amongst the top table to get all the cash
counting
together.
Counting it out into his hands.
To cash him up before he'd leave. So,
oh, beautiful.
So I just wondered if you've, got,
you
any,
had? Yeah, that's
if you've got any corporate tales. And there's quite left-field people that can be suddenly... and you think, well, that was a good booking.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, when you see Emma Raducanu's exploits, there is a tendency to think she was hothoused like so many kids are in sport. She was handed a tennis racket when she was 18 months old and it just played and played and played until she became the fantastic player she is at 18. Not the case. Look back into her history and you'll see she tried lots and lots of other sports before she settled on tennis and took it seriously.
It must be good. Well, it gives you a competitive edge, doesn't it? Because you obviously just like winning, like playing the game, like winning. Makes your muscles learn different things, so you probably get injured less, I would have thought, I'm guessing.
Well, you're, I mean, I'm
guessing.
You're probably just guessing. Thankfully, someone has looked into this touch more scientifically from The Guardian, Sean Ingle. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon.
It's quite a varied amount of sports, very different sports, and some not particularly physical, if you like, including go-karting.
Yeah, horse riding, swimming, tap dancing, basketball, golf, go-karting. She did try a bit of everything. And this sort of really hits the big debate sort of scientists and people in sport have had over the last 15, 20 years or so. There's on the one side, it's the hothouse them, let's send them do the one sport super hard, super early. And then there's the other side that says, no, we should sample lots of sports. And then as you get towards your teens, start focusing on the one you really enjoy. And the science I've seen, the experts I've spoken to say this leads to, you know, you're much more likely to be successful if you do that latter approach.
It's not the first top tennis player to have kind of gone down this route you found in your piece, Sean.
Yeah. Roger Federer did exactly the same thing. He'd do wrestling. You know, he would do, which I can't imagine him. I mean, he's as thin as anything. He would, he would pretty much play every sport under the sun as well. The other thing that was quite interesting with him was, though he did tennis and played tennis three times a week, he did loads of other stuff as well. And when he did tennis, he often messed about. His mum refused to play him. Well, not that because he was good at that age, even though he was pretty good, but she was a coach herself because he wouldn't hit a normal shot. He would try like stupid slices and crazy shots. And but actually it was actually helping him improve. And the idea is that if you play multiple sports, if it's a bit unstructured as well as structured, you're developing creativity, you try something new, you're learning how to deal with fresh challenges, but also there's less chance of burnout. We've all seen, kids join football clubs at a very early age and burn out quickly. Less chance of injury rates because you're exercising different muscles, as you said. And also, it's probably just a bit more fun for the kids as well.
Yeah, sure. My experience of parenting is that you just want your children to go to bed as soon as possible at night. And just try
super
and,
dad.
Just try and tire them out. So I often wonder, like with as professional sports people often have loads and
that
loads
while you're
of
building
energy.
That pyramid in the garden. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the film The Hill?
Yeah.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
No. So just I can imagine that they're just trying to tire Roger or in this place, Emma Raducanu, just trying to tire her out by just giving her as much to do as possible during the day. Motocross is an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, she does like F1. We were talking about this. Daniel Ricciardo's her favourite driver. She's into F1. So I had no idea where that had come from, but we kind of now we know, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. Hand-eye coordination, it can't hurt. I mean, I think it's quite interesting. I mean, it's not saying that if you specialise super early, you can't be successful. We've all seen that. I mean, Tiger Woods, for example, was one. But what's quite interesting, there was a study in Germany among like top footballers where it looked at 52 top footballers that played in the Bundesliga, 18 played for the national team, and it also looked at 50 footballers that played like Division 4 and 6. They're still very good, pro and semi-pro. But they found, quite interestingly, more often, the ones that were in Division 4 and 6 had done more football when they were kids, had done harder. They started at clubs earlier, but they hadn't quite got to the top. While the ones that were that played for the national team and so on had tended to keep doing more in different sports and only specialised at football at a later age.
Well, you look at it from a mental health point of view as well, to give a varied sort of curriculum of sports rather than just the one must help. And that sort of rings true with Roger Federer, who seems to be one of the sanest of professional top level sports people. Whereas you read Andre Agassi's brilliant autobiography, and his dad made him play tennis literally.
Yeah.
Used to swing a tennis ball above his cot to make his eyes watch the ball, and he just hates tennis. That's what he talks about in the book, is he absolutely hates it, did it far too much, and you know, he's got drug problems and all that sort of stuff, didn't he?
I mean, the cautionary tales in the sort of aftermath of Raducanu winning, Sean, at the weekend, it's been around players like Capriati, and she talks about the fact that, you know, by the time it actually got to that point of success when things were going well, she'd had enough of the game. She'd spent so much of her life just playing it. She didn't want to look at another tennis ball again.
Absolutely right. And that brilliant Agassi book, I think I'm right, if I remember rightly, the first thing he said to Steffi Graf, his now wife, was, you know, they basically discussed how much they hated tennis.
Yeah.
And they kind of they sort of bonded over it.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are two of the greatest players in history. And that's sad, really, in many ways.
Yeah, that was the brilliant bit in that book. They are saying how much they hate tennis while their dads meet each other and their dads are giving each other tips on how the other player could have been a lot better.
This is stuff for movies, isn't it? Yeah. But so many things she did do, as you said, tap dancing would feed into the tennis, as you said. All the other sports that she did feed into. They would have brought something to her tennis, certainly stuff like the ballet, etc. So, without knowing it, she was becoming a better tennis player by doing other stuff.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, she said herself that she was shy. She, her dad kind of, I mean, it's a sort of different style of kind of forceful parenting. He basically said, well, I'm going to get you doing this and that and that. It'll get you out of your shell. But, you know, he was also helping her as well. And, it was quite interesting. I was at Wimbledon and I was chatting to Matt James, who's one of our coaches at the LTA. And, you know, I sort of said, well, what makes her stand out? And I expected him to say straight away, you know, she's intelligent, her work ethic, etc. And he did talk about that later. But the first thing he did say was, you know, from my perspective, one of the best things about Emma is she was exposed to a lot of sports from a young age, and she didn't go too specific into tennis straight away. And he said, I see that on court when she's learning a new skill, trying something a little bit different. She has ability and coordination to pick things up very quickly, even if it's a big technical change. And he said that was unusual for most people that he dealt with. So I thought it was really interesting.
Well, fascinating.
I can imagine this is just what tennis clubs want to hear when they're expecting the Raducanu boom is play less tennis.
It's great news for the local go-karting club, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're all going to be doing, if you're a tap dancer at the moment.
50cc Fantic.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the Kickstart reboot with Emma Raducanu.
Yeah, motocross. Fascinating stuff, Sean. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Sean Ingle's piece is in today's Guardian. And one of the other things she used to do was play badminton using next door's fence as a net.
Oh, lovely.
Which makes for an interesting game because you can't see it coming back. So you must, you have to work on the basis.
Blind badminton is a great idea.
So when she's thanking everybody, she's got to thank the 70-year-old woman who lived next door.
Thanks to Jean for always hitting
it
back.
Jean and Bob who live next door, and she said, oh, Emma's there, but no one's hitting it back. I'll go out. Gene went out. She became quite a decent badminton player.
Olympian level.
Yeah, that's right. Because
they never met.
They never met.
Very sad.
Never met. Always wondered how that ball was coming back. Anyway, we got some tales from you of ridiculous parents at youth level. Somebody says, Paul and Charlie, this is from Hugh. I had exactly the same linesman experience you did against bitter local rivals. The guy shadowed me the whole game.
Oh, God.
But there was only one close call, which I got right. He turned to his mate, the manager, and said, yeah, just about. Mm. My response taught the under 12 some new words.
It's always men, Paul.
It's always men. It is.
Anyway, grow up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
Now, this game's in the Championship and beyond, and indeed in the National League tonight.
Yeah, full nationally programme, Paul.
That's right, one or two cancelled. Our own Ben Fletcher's Woking. They won't be in action because of a minor COVID outbreak.
Yeah.
A couple of games postponed.
Two games off for them.
Yeah, that's right. But
actually, I'll tell you what's in the league before we get to Lloyd.
Yeah.
League Two tonight is Sutton v Hartley, Paul, which is postponed because Sutton's pitch has been relayed. And it's now a grass pitch, of course. That's the two teams that went up from the National League last year, of course.
Yes, that's right. Torquay came close, but not close enough.
They Paul. Thank you.
Troubled start at the beginning of this season with betting a lot of new players in, and were put to the sword at the weekend by Grimsby Town.
It takes time to bed new players in, Paul. It takes time to get a new squad together, doesn't it?
Anyway, joining us now, a fan of Grimsby Town, Lloyd Griffith, comedian. Good afternoon, Lloyd.
Yeah, we've made quite a good start, actually, to be fair.
A better one than you thought, or?
Yeah, well, we had quite easy opposition so far. I think Weymouth and Torquay, just like loads of like nice little small South Coast teams that we've just managed to just, you know, put aside, really. So I can't really complain.
No, that's just very true. Yeah, Charlie, going to weigh in on that?
Nothing to say to that. Nothing to say to that. Sounds like Grimsby were very good. One thing that Grimsby did do, is it Michael Effette scored for you on... Saturday?
Michy Effetti,
there he is, yeah.
Okay, Michael Effect. Sounds like somebody was in
the Michael Effect.
Somebody was in a punk band.
Michy Effetti, yeah, he used to play for Torquay, so that's a returning player, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, and he's a right back, blistering run up the right-hand side, and you just let him waltz in like it was dancing on ice. It was beautiful.
Very good. But Paul Hurst, of course, he's taken over your club again, Lloydie, hasn't he? And he is working his magic. He's a very good manager, isn't he? He knows the level. He's put a good squad together.
Well, he's exactly like your gaffer. Do you know what I mean? They know the level. They know the players they want to bring in, and they've got contacts. So when we brought him in, we just knew that he was going to do such a good job at recruitment, bringing in the right people, you know, on the pitch, off the pitch as well. You know, we brought in Sean Pearson, who was at Wrexham, Giles Copeland, L. John Lewis. So we've just got an amazing spine of the team.
Yeah.
And with that, he's brought in people like Alex Hunt from Sheffield Wednesday, this new lad whose name I can't remember, from Bristol Rovers, Bristol City. Sorry.
Yeah, feeling special. Worry.
You could have made someone up because no one's heard of any of these players other than us anyway, Lloyd. So
it's called Michael Effect. Michael Effect.
He signed
the Mickey Effect.
Michael Effect and Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Alan Cause, Michael Effect.
Yeah.
The two boys up the top. Yeah,
Paul Hurst is no Gary Johnson, but we'll carry on with the interview.
Yes, we will. I was going to ask you. I had a corking question. Is now completely. Oh yeah. Are you all ganging up on Wrexham, Lloyd? You and the other members. You and Charlie. Are you all turning on Wrexham? No.
No, not at all. I think it's great what's happened. As we say, like the National League used to be kind of like, well, as it was the conference, it was a bit of a joke league, but much in the same way that, you know, the Premier League has caused the Championship to be a big league. Look at the National League, some big teams down there, some huge teams down there. Wrexham, you know, with their Hollywood owners, it's added glamour to the National League. I don't think that's an oxymoron. And people want to watch games, and you know, people are buying Wrexham shirts, want to see Wrexham. Grimsby are playing Wrexham tonight. We've sold 6,700 tickets. I mean, that does not happen. So it's obviously the effect of Grimsby's new owners, and you know, the fact that they're on a run, and there's just a revitalised kind of like feel about the club, and everyone just feels welcome. But the fact, you know, you've got Ryan Reynolds as the spearhead of Wrexham is absolutely brilliant. So, I mean, hopefully it continues. So you don't get bored and decides to buy someone else. But yeah, hopefully we'll turn them over tonight like we did Torquay so easily on Saturday.
One of the things that is the sort of little goals of getting back into the league, Paul, is that you get on to be on FIFA. The computer game FIFA. The National League isn't on FIFA.
It's not on FIFA.
Which is very disappointing. But they've just announced Wrexham is going to be on FIFA next season.
Even if they don't go up. That's not right.
In a rest of the world team. In the rest of the world league, because they're obviously the Welsh. And you go, that feels just like Hollywood has bought their way onto FIFA 22 there. Doesn't feel right, does it, Lloyd?
I mean, I'm not going to complain, because ultimately, if Ryan Reynolds is looking to cast someone in a new movie, a little fat bloke from Grimsby, I don't want him to go, oh, wait a minute, didn't he like badmouth me? Obviously, I won't do an American accent in the film. You know, didn't he badmouth me? on Talksport on the 13th of September, so or whatever day it is.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to badmouth them. I think it's a great idea what they're doing.
Thing is, Lloyd, there was a film called Grimsby, wasn't there?
There was.
That's set in Grimsby.
And you weren't in
Grimsby,
it.
And you weren't in it. So I just feel like...
You say that, and, you know, the brief did come in and they said, we're looking for an overweight Grimsby Town fan in his early 30s. We'd love to see Lloyd. I was like, well, I've been training for that for 20-odd years. And it's not great when you can't even get that role in a film.
Yeah. You are in Ted Lasso, though, Lloyd.
That's
true. You pop up in there.
Well done, Lloyd.
It's winning more awards, isn't it? I don't think we had Brett Goldstein on a little while ago. Charlie, you still haven't watched any of you.
Still haven't watched a minute of it. I am going to watch it.
Yeah, it's done very well. It's been really popular series.
It's a really amazing series. Mm. One and two have done really, really well. Obviously, one of the absolute whole host of awards. And I think it's funny, but it's very wholesome and touches on a lot of subjects that aren't necessarily touched on, especially in football, with anxiety and mental health and stuff. And do it in a really clever and funny way. So, but being on that set is absolutely incredible. Do you know what I mean, working with Jason and Brendan and Jeremy and the like, it's just it's as fun on set as it looks. You know, as the actual performances are. On the screen, so it's brilliant. And again, if they're listening, I'd love to be in series three.
He's issued a come and get me plan.
Wow,
it's not many comedy series that are born through a kind of promo for the Premier League, because that's Jason Sudeikis came in and saw us when he was doing Ted Lasso for the first time to promote.
I think I was on that day.
Yeah, and he came in that day and had a chat with us about it. It was like a 10-minute promo.
NBC or Fox, wasn't it? And they were doing some stuff at Tottenham Hotspur. I think him, Brendan and Bill Lawrence, they kind of created this idea. And then, from a little 10-minute promo, it's turned into, three series on Apple TV with absolutely countless awards.
Absolutely brilliant. And now you're off on tour, Lloyd, which is very exciting, isn't it? You've done a few dates already, I think. Cardiff, Bristol, somewhere else. Yeah. You'll end up in Grimsby at some point, I expect. That's all you go on about. where else can people steal you, and what's in the show?
So basically, I've done about two weeks already, and it's been absolutely brilliant. It was like Cardiff last night, Bristol the night before, in Glasgow tomorrow, and then hit Leeds next week. And then it goes on to like Manchester, Sheffield, Nottingham, up and down the country. Lyme Regis and Great Torrington need a little bit of attention, if I'm being brutally honest.
Okay. So
if
you live, I've told you many times, the Southwest do not like you, Lloyd. You are not welcome there.
All right. Well, I sold out Exeter and Bristol, mate. So what's happened? What's up with North Devon? What's their issue with me?
They know. Funny when they see it.
But yeah, shut up, Charlie. It's stand up. It's funny. It's got me in it. It's talking about me wanting to sing the national anthem at a Wembley game, before an England game at some point. So bit of football, bit of singing, but crucially, it's got comedy in it. Luckily, so yeah, it's been great. I mean, lovely, lovely, big, nice rooms so far, and looking to continue that to the end of October, where I do finish the tour. That's right, in Grimsby on my birthday. Sounds like a plan.
Lovely.
I don't know if it ruins the show, but I mean, how close did you get to that? Because you came on and told us you were working at it, and you were getting closer to actually getting on the pitch and singing the anthem. How close did you come?
Got about as close as 94,000 other people. Half of them without tickets.
I think you had more chance than that.
I managed to get to three or four games at Wembley, and so in theory I did sing at Wembley, but not on the pitch. And what was quite good was I didn't sing at Wembley on the pitch. I did manage to catch COVID at the final. So I mean,
and you dropped your phone down the toilet, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I did actually. Yeah, I dropped my phone down the toilet. Still the same phone actually, so it's no issues. The problem that we had was obviously that COVID kind of was a big thing. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Worth a Google, but basically. They just didn't want any more people on the pitch than the players and the officials. There were actually no singers for any of the games, for any of the anthems, for any of the teams. So the quest still goes on, lad. So this tour might be extended for another 4 years.
You could have come on that little car they had with bringing the ball on.
Yeah.
That'd have been good, wouldn't it?
Somebody's going to buy that and get on the stage in it. That'd be good.
I tell you what, if I've had two of them, I could put 1 foot in each one.
Exactly.
And
on
line dancing on ice.
Singing God Save Our Gracious Queen. It'd been lovely.
Marvellous. Well, okay, Lloyd. We wish you well with the tour, and LloydGriffith.com. Yes. All the dates are there. Some are sold out, some have got limited availability.
A lot sold out.
What's it called, the tour? I Can Sing and I Support Grimsby Town? Is it called that?
It's called Not Just a Pretty Face, and we dispatched Torquay 3-1 very easily on Saturday. Yeah. It's a long, drawn-out title, but people get used to it after a while.
Cheers, Lloyd. Thanks
Cheers,
a lot.
Cheers, Lloyd.
Cheers, guys. Take care. Bye.
There we are, Lloyd Griffith. There, go and catch him on tour. He's in Glasgow
funny.
Tomorrow.
Despite what everyone else says, he's funny.
I know you really do stand his corner, don't you? You've had pub fights standing his corner, which is very good of you. Mike in Edinburgh says, I work for a biggish retail company. Back in the 90s, they had a yearly conference for all the store managers and head office bigwigs. At 1 year, they had an actor from Brookside. Oh. This is the long gone channel for
nonsense.
Soap. Nonsense, a bit harsh. Forget his name, but his act lasted 20 minutes, which included an awful 5-minute joke about a submarine.
Oh, no.
We prayed it would end. There was some polite applause when it finally did. Oh, no. 3 years later at the yearly conference, who appears on stage? Does the same routine, including the 5-minute submarine gag. It was a long evening, he says.
Imagine when he goes, yeah. So, there's this submarine.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, you were telling us corporate tales this afternoon of the stars attending your events. We're having to tread fairly carefully around.
Someone's guessed your boxer, Paul, from the boxer story.
Have they really?
Yeah, they have.
Maybe they're at the do. Maybe they're at the do.
A lot of people asking if they're taking Paolo Wanchope or Barry Venison. We don't want the meet. I don't know why you're stopping people doing the meet 11, Paul, but you don't want the meet 11.
This is because Kevin Keegan will be hosting the Meat Management Industry Awards 2021. And in his little Q&A that he did pre-event, seem to know a lot about meat management. Surprising. Anyway, you've been telling us different
stories.
When they
say meat management, Paul, is that the management of it from the abattoir to the table?
I know less than Kevin Keegan.
This is why you've not got the gig, Paul.
Yes, I mean,
you could be getting that sweet, sweet meat management pound.
Yeah, I could be. Yeah, there may be maybe one day. As a former manager of a high street retailer, I used to attend a big annual conference to celebrate successes and hammer the free bar. At least you're honest.
Lovely.
1 year, the safe hands of two Radio 1 DJs hosted, but rubbed our notorious owner up the wrong way by towering over him, leaning on his shoulders. He was short and not that fond of self-deprecation. A joke about size not mattering was the final straw. Ooh. And during the announcement of the prestigious Store of the Year award, he announced Norwich. The Norwich team jumped up, celebrating wildly, but this was quickly followed by our steam leader adding angrily, "It's not you, sit down." He'd done it just to be horrible.
Wow.
The room fell deathly silent as the actual winners sheepishly went up to collect their prize, with the tears of the losing team audible to all. Later, overheard two directors saying, "I knew we shouldn't have invited him," says Harry from... Thank you, Harry, for
thank
that.
Thank you, that's so lovely. Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know it's getting...
Not you.
Sit down.
Sit down, shut up.
Now, you know it's getting near Christmas, Charlie, when you see four of the stars of Panto.
Oh, lovely.
This is, they're doing, I don't need to tell you this, but they're doing Jack and the Beanstalk at the King's Theatre, Portsmouth.
Oh, lovely.
Starts November the 27th. And there was a nice lineup of the cast, all in costume.
Okay.
Jack Edwards, Amy Hart, Sean Smith, they were all there. They were all there in the outfits. And so we know it's getting near Christmas because we're seeing pictures of people in Panto.
I love that.
Have you ever done Panto, John?
I've done Panto, Paul. I was...
I can see you being very good.
Long time ago. I'd like to do the ones where you get paid absolute fortunes.
Yeah.
I've never done one of those. I used to do when you sort of got a weekly sort of wage that wasn't particularly great, but you did a lot of shows, so
it must be odd if you're a jobbing Panto actor, and then somebody comes in from a soap and he's not great.
No,
and he just comes and they go boo, and then does a few three jokes about the soap they're in, and then gets 50 times as much as
but
you.
That's show business, Paul, isn't it?
It is,
that's show business. They are 50 times more famous than me, so you know that's how
true.
It goes.
You can't get bitter, Charlie.
It's,
can you?
It's hard work, Panto, Paul. Yeah. Oh, it's work. I tell you, it's lots of shows in a short space of time when everybody feels very, very poorly. And so
it's a lot of coughing.
It's a very hard work. I actually gave up acting because of Panto as well. I was.
If you're listening, Jack Edwards, Amy Hart, and Sean Smith, listen to Uncle Charlie.
Yeah. I was doing an 11 o'clock in the morning. School's matinee, they call it.
Wow.
And I was playing the crab in Pinocchio, Paul. You know the crab in Pinocchio?
It's one of the, it's a classic.
You know, it's like the robot in Hamlet.
If you ask me top three, Ugly Sisters, Cinderella, Buttons, obviously.
Buttons, of course.
Crab, Pinocchio.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily in that order.
And I turned up and I'd not gone home the night before.
Really?
And I turned up.
You didn't do a Will Ferrell. You weren't sick inside your own head.
I was, Paul. You said it. dressed as a crab in Stoke-on-Trent.
That's not good.
11 o'clock in the morning.
That's not good.
Sick, dressed as a crab. Made me go, maybe this isn't the job for me.
And here you are working with me,
maybe
Charlie.
There's something that's making me unhappy. And then I rang you, Paul, and the rest
what
is
about that?
History, you know.
Was that the crab doesn't often turn up in Pinocchio, does it? Or?
I think there was a see-through. I can't remember it, if I'm honest.
Right.
I cannot. It's quite a long time ago now, and I think there was like a seafood restaurant.
Did you throw that in as an ad lib? Sorry, folks. Dodgy prawn. You could.
Well, lovely gambero.
You could have thrown that in, couldn't you?
Yes.
All the kids going, "Mum, I want to go home."
But go and see a decent Panto. There's nothing like it. Absolutely fantastic.
It's brilliant. It is sensational, isn't it? And so many Aussies would come over and do it.
Yeah, sports stars used to do it, didn't they? Used to do it a lot. Used to Frank Bruno was never out of Panto,
I wonder if Kevin Keegan ever did a Panto.
I bet he did. Mighty Mouse there.
Because he can
hold a tune as well, can't he?
Did you ever see anybody from the world of sport apart from Frank? Apart from, because you know,
what a lovely idea,
we are proper zeitgeist. Me and Andy doing Panto stuff. But did you ever see somebody from the world of sport in Panto?
Frank Bruno did it year after year.
Daly must have. Daly Thompson. Daly must have done a couple walk-ons. Yeah. He would have done a couple of walk-ons.
Well, it's big money. It's proper money, isn't it?
I'm sure
big
it is.
Money, especially if you're with Max Bygraves.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Joining us now, chat about his new podcast.
Yep.
Bit of boxing.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure he's going to want to talk football after last night.
He will, yeah.
Is the former world champion, Tony Bellew. Good afternoon, Tony.
How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good.
Thank you,
yeah, we'll come on to Everton a bit later on. But your podcast is a very interesting premise, Tony. Tell us a bit more about that.
Do you know what, guys? Just a different outlook on things and something that I haven't seen anybody else do before. I mean, everyone wants to paint me out to be the angriest man in the world. I actually don't think I am. Anger is something that I'm actually not. It's an actual reaction or an emotion to me. It's just that I tend to use that reaction an awful lot more than normal people do. So, but it was interesting to see, you know, anger is something that everybody feels and everyone goes through at some point in their life or at some point in the day, if you're me. But I just wanted to speak to people and find out what they do about their anger, how they deal with it, how they cope with it. Does it last? Do you get past it? Does it stick with you? So it was interesting speaking to various people and people who I was surprised who even knew who I was. Like, I didn't have any idea someone as big as Ricky Gervais would know anything about me, but he did, fair play. I knew Wazza, Obviously, Wayne Rooney, I've known him for years.
He'd probably been angry with him, Tony, when he left Everton and went to Manchester United.
I wasn't angry with him, mate. I was more gutted than angry. It was a different emotion. But speaking to him, and he talks about the issue about leaving Everton and how it came about and how, you know, gutted he was himself at leaving his boyhood club. But there's just so much to catch up and talk about and listen to other people. I have enjoyed listening to other people talk about how they deal with anger. It's taught me an awful lot, to be fair. Getting my anger out, I've also realised the only way, there's other ways to get rid of it, not just punching people in the face. So I've learnt a lot about myself, to be fair, while doing it, guys.
What's your trigger, Tony? Because my trigger is, my wife will go, now, don't fall out with a bloke. Don't fall out with him, especially when we like hire a car on holiday, something like that. I'll turn up and I'll go, we've hired a car. All right, have you got the piece of paper? No, but you know, okay. And then like, do you want the insurance? Well, I want the insurance. Well, right, that means you can't drive it to the beach, you know, or something like that. They'll say, oh, well, so you have to buy this insurance.
So that's what gets you going.
That sort of thing just winds me up. That sort of jobs worth
element.
And then I will fall out with the bloke, and then I'll walk back to my wife and say, I've fallen out with the bloke. What triggers you, Tony?
Traffic wardens whining up, I'm not going to lie.
That's the last ticket you'll ever get. Is it?
there's loads of things, guys. Someone parking over two spaces in a car park, can infuriate me quite quickly. there's so many different things, but ultimately, I've learned that these things annoy everybody else as well. So I look at it as, it's not my fault that I'm angry. It's what you've done to make me angry. That's how I kind of get out of a lot of trouble that I'm in. You've made me angry, so you've got to deal with the consequences. But listening to others talk about it was so interesting. You know, artists, I'm a huge music fan. I love all different genres of music. Speaking to the likes of Joy Crook, she's an amazing artist.
Yeah.
James Arthur, they were intriguing people and interesting people who've got tough backgrounds, have come from tough areas, neighbourhoods and stuff like that. So I was just intrigued to speak to these people. And as I've said before, there'll be some more famous faces and popular faces on there as well. So just tune in and listen to it. It's something that everybody can relate to, I believe. You know, because as I say, show me a person who doesn't get angry and I'll show you the liar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a boxer, people would think, well, anger's an important component of that. But there are times, you know, when another fighter wants to draw you into that, wants to make it a war, wants to make you angry, you come out swinging and not forgetting the game plan. So sometimes you've got to temper that. You've got to control it, haven't you?
An angry boxer will be a boxer who usually ends up getting knocked out. You cannot go into the ring with any kind of anger or emotion. You've got to separate yourself from it, detach yourself completely from it emotionally. And it's just purely, as I've said before, boxing is violent chess. You've got to be moves ahead of fighters, and anger has no place in a boxing ring. Like I've said, if you get angry, you'll find yourself soon sitting on your backside. Believe you me, I speak from experience. So it's a tough one, really. Anger has helped me through an awful lot of training camps, I'm not going to lie. When I've been feeling sorry for myself, or when I've had enough and fed up on days, anger's been where I basically kick myself up my own backside and said, get on with it, do this, do that. It has helped on them days. Some other times, though, it's been, you know, part of the reason why I've made mistakes, why I've felt into traps that people have set for me. Just other things. But as I said, the most interesting thing was forget about me. It was talking to these other people who deal with anger, and how they I can relate to them, and then how they can relate to me, and just find out that basically we're all the same. What we do doesn't define us or make us who we are. We're all just people at the end of the day, and we all go through different situations. It's just about how we deal with them and how we get away from them.
On the boxing front, Tony, it's interesting. Tony, Anthony Joshua was talking today about the career-defining fight he wants against Tyson Fury, and the frustration of it not happening. And that is a frustration for all boxers, isn't it? You know, there are fights, you know, that when you look back on your legacy, you'll have to fight this person to feel like you fulfilled it. And it must be a constant frustration for boxers that, you know, the boxing politics gets in the way of the fights often you all want and we all want to see.
Of course. I mean, it's always been the way with boxing. This is nothing new. Managers, trainers, promoters, they all have different agendas. If it was down to the fighters, the fights would be made instantly. That I say that 99% of the time, it's very rare that one fighter wants to back out of facing another fighter because he thinks he's going to lose. That very, very rarely happens. So, as I said, when managers are in control, when promoters are in control, they've all got agendas, and deep down they know who they believe will win the fight. So you usually find that a promoter will want to steer his guy clear of any, you know, legitimate challenge or danger. When you come to the likes of Anthony Joshua, he's the biggest selling heavyweight in the world currently right now. You know, no one gets anywhere near to him. No one else, probably in the world, barring Canelo, sells out 80 to 90,000 seater stadiums. And he does this on a regular basis. I think it's testament to Anthony Joshua as a boxer that he wants to face the best guys. You know, he loses a fight, he wants to go straight into a rematch with the only guy who's beat him. So these are testament to Anthony Joshua and the things that he's doing. As I've said before, and I'll say again, he's put on a plateau at the top of the heavyweight division. And he's literally doing things that some fights have never done before. Let's be totally honest, guys. Who'd ever thought that boxing would be happening in the deserts of Saudi Arabia? No one ever believed that for a minute. And that's not to take nothing away from Tyson Fury, because he's overcome his own demons as well. He's making a great name for himself, but he's got to get past Deontay Wilder in America. And that's the situation that we currently lie in. You know, Anthony Joshua's got his own battles going in against, you know, the greatest cruiserweight who's ever lived in Alexander Usyk. And don't just say, people will say, oh, he's just a cruiserweight. He's the greatest cruiserweight to ever put on gloves. This guy is formidable. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He's an amazing fighter. It's not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. I believe Anthony Joshua will win, and he will find a way in the mid to late rounds. But believe you me, you will soon see he's in for a hell of a fight on Saturday, on the 25th of September.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. A little word on last night, 3-1. Andros Townsend surprisingly cutting in and beating his player and sticking it in the top corner. What a surprise. Rafa's done a great job so far.
Everything's going great. Last night was the first game I've got to go to my boys with in, I think it's 18 months. So taking my kids there was fantastic. And just, you know, the first half was, I'm not going to lie, was horrendous. But you come out in the second half, it's a completely different team. A different set. It looked like a different bunch of lads. Damari Gray's just been a revelation since he started this season. Andros Townsend has been really good. All the lads have been immense in certain parts of games, but last night the desire they showed upon coming out in that second half was fantastic. That goal went in and it literally ignited the fire underneath them. Andros Townsend's strike was out of this world. You know, he gets it out of his feet, three or four steps, and then just lets go. Once he pulls the trigger on that cannon of a left foot that he's got, it was unbelievable. So made up to see his win last night. Onwards and upwards. The Rafa revolution has begun, and we are on our way, mate. Yeah. We are on our way, so I just hope we can remain where we are in the league at the minute. But no huge expectations. Let's just enjoy what we're doing, not get carried away with ourselves, and hopefully Everton will win the league.
Hey, that's bold.
Okay, it's going to get angry. Yeah. You'll get angry if you don't.
Yeah, that's
there it. You start me off.
Cheers, Tony. All the best.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for joining us, boys.
Tony Bellew, you can check out. Tony Bellew is angry. That's his podcast. He said Ricky Gervais, Wayne Rooney, Joy Crooks and more all involved. So go and check it out. Available, I think, from this week on BBC Sounds app.
There we are. Kev, the Everton fan, says, I feel this is a podcast that Andy Jacobs definitely needs to listen to.
Yes, that's a man that struggles to control his anger, especially if the England cricketers are on the telly and not playing particularly well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I love the Champions League. Great to have it back.
I think
it's the most open it's ever been, Paul.
I
can't pick a winner. You said you think the English teams.
I think the English teams are pretty much favourites.
You've got PSG with Messi. You know, they, always a wild card, isn't it? You know, but I just think it's so open. It could be anybody's.
Yeah, I'd say favourites. I mean, PSG are probably favourites. We'll ask the guys from Palipair a little bit later on. We'll take a look at the betting. We are struggling to get for our man from FC Zenit.
Oh, really?
So we'll keep working at it.
Sure.
Bear with us.
So a little bit more Emma Raducanu news for you, Paul.
Yeah. I'm surprised you managed to find it in the papers.
No, it's a new bit. So the Chinese...
It's all buried away.
Yeah,
it's buried away down the side
on page 9.
Yeah, of course.
So you know, she speaks fluent Mandarin, her mother's...
Well, we heard her,
Chinese.
Yeah. It's very impressive, isn't it?
And anyway, she said, I'd like to say thank you. I hope you're watching me play tennis. Very happy now, but we won. Bye-bye. I love you, Raducanu said. And some... Chinese fans pointed out that she has a distinct northeastern accent when she speaks Chinese. She's a Geordie.
She's a Geordie Chinese.
She's Geordie Chinese. Yeah. She's there. All the Chinese people going, oh, look, she's... YI man.
So she did. She gave him a YI, did she?
That's what she was saying.
It's fantastic. That's what really... She gave him the full Blade and Races.
Exactly. She's great. War Geordie's lost his penga.
Yeah. Wow, what about that?
What about
it's
that?
It's great when that sort of thing gets picked up.
Emma Raducanu.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Now, I'm sure you'll be aware that top sports stars, they put a little trademark on various things that maybe in the course of time they may look to get into. Well, this comes from the UK's Intellectual Property Office, and Cristiano Ronaldo has issued these trademarks. He's interested in going into the ready meals business.
Oh, yeah.
So he's tried to cover a CR7 range, which includes prepared dishes consisting principally of meat. Prepared entrees.
He's after Kevin Keegan's job.
I think he probably is. The meat management gig. He wants that one.
He wants it. That's why he's come back.
Five-figure gig. Prepared entrees consisting primarily of seafood.
Right.
Prepared meals consisting primarily of fish.
Okay.
You get the idea. Prepared meals...
It's like a Portuguese restaurant, Paul.
I suppose it is.
You've got your sardines. You've got your sardines.
Prepared meals consisting principally of vegetables. Prepared meals consisting principally of eggs. This is what he's trademarked.
Eggs?
Yeah. The application covers putting his trademark on carrots.
He can't trademark eggs.
He's going to do the CR7 carrot. His own range of carrots with CR7 on. I reckon they'd sell quite well. So, his trademark application also covers treats.
Okay, lovely.
Word you only ever see in a tabloid. Along with feasted on, tucked into, phrases that are only used in tabloid newspapers, such as ice cream, yogurts, chocolate bakery goods, cereal bars, tea and coffee. He's going to do his own corn-based snack foods, possibly. We don't know
that. It's up to him,
Grain-based snack foods and rice-based snack foods are also covered. I wonder, he's not going to do a crumble. Lee Grant's covered the crumble market.
Rhubarb crumble, is it?
Yeah, apparently Ole said, well, we don't have a lot of fast food. The apple crumble is not the fast food, is it? It can be, but...
Martial could do the crumble because he falls apart in the box.
Oh,
there we are.
Charlie, you're doing your football material now.
Whoa, knock, knock, who's there? I'm building up to a joke here, Paul, just to let you know.
Okay, yeah. So I don't want to crash it.
The floor's yours, Charlie. I've got an idea for a joke. I just thought I'd workshop it with you.
Okay.
Prince Charles, you know he has this village that he's built in Dorset?
Oh, yeah.
One of the roundabouts is a memorial to the Queen Mother, and people keep crashing.
You sure you want to do this,
Jack? They keep crashing.
Because when you say you're workshopping, the red light's on. You do realise
they keep crashing.
Yeah.
They don't know which way to go. When of course it's one way. It's just nothing there, Paul.
That's good.
There.
I just think it needs a bit of work.
I keep digging.
Yeah.
I keep digging down on it. You don't think it's great? How does Ronaldo put his name on eggs?
I think it's egg-based meals. Maybe he's going to make the CR7 omelette. I don't quite know.
I don't know how it works.
I'm just passing on the message.
You know, if you have a good egg, it has a lion mark on it.
Yeah.
Isn't that a terrible animal to... Imagine a lion with a bunch of eggs. Be smashing them when they just put me mark on this egg. Rawr, big claw through its egg.
I'm not really giving it a lot of thought, Charlie. I will now, though. I promise.
Terrible, isn't it? What a terrible animal. Should be a different animal. A slightly more delicate animal.
An animal with a feather's touch. Yeah.
Imagine a lion with some eggs. Terrible. Got to change that.
Well, look, while Fletch brings us the news and sports headlines, I'll look up why the lion trademark appears on eggs.
Why is that?
I don't know.
What
I don't
that?
Know.
It's better than me one-way material.
I wasn't expecting to be asked.
One-way? No? Okay.
Not really for you. If you like that, just press the red button on your handset now. Turns us over to TalkSport 2. Anyway, this is Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. And in the absence of meals principally made of eggs, vegetables, meat or fish, until CR7 pulls his finger out, we'll just have to get by.
Not got into the pulses market, is he yet?
Not as far as I know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon show. We'll do it all again tomorrow, Charlie, won't we?
Well, not me, but you'll have Andy tomorrow,
right,
and I'll see you on Thursday for
you're
a spread.
You're back on Thursday for the birthday spread. Andy is doing 3 days a week. He's giving us Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, so he'll be here tomorrow. So do hope you can join us. If not, podcasts will be available, as always, around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.